Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Can you give the Lord a praise? He's good. He's better than good. I don't know that I can find the words to describe him. But there are names in the Bible that we're going to talk about a few today that describe him in a great way. Last week, Amanda and I, did she do good last week, guys? She helped me out up here. And last week, we presented to you guys the word that we feel that the Lord has given us for this year, the Lord's given us for this church for 2026, and that word is better. And when we say better, we mean that in so many ways and on so many levels. We mean better spiritually, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, whatever it may be. But what we need to understand with that, Amanda said this last week, and I'm going to reiterate it now, is that better is on the other side of your obedience. Better is on the other side of your obedience. So last week, we talked about how love is better than law and how obedience is better than sacrifice. But one thing I want us to all understand is that for any aspect of our lives to be better, we must first and foremost know that He, Jesus, Yeshua, is better. Amen? He's better. He's better than anything that this world could ever offer us. He's better. So as we've taken off into 2026, we're about 2 weeks in now, I want to talk about Him being better. And really leading into this new year, the end of 2025, for several months, I really felt like the Lord was speaking to me about doing a series on the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. And you know this, if you were here last week, you know I mentioned it, but the Lord kind of put that, my plan was to start it last week, but the Lord kind of changed that sermon on us. But today I am going to start a series on the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. It was my mom's favorite chapter. It was something she stood by, she proclaimed, she prayed over us as children. It was just my mom's favorite chapter in the entire Bible. And Psalm 23 is probably one of the most famous chapters in the Bible in general. But over the 10 years that Remnant Church has been in existence and I've been pastoring this church, I've never really broken down Psalm 23 and talked about it. I've never really just preached a sermon on it. It's come up in my sermons, and I've kind of flowed saying some things about Psalm 23. We went through a stint a few years back where I think I prayed Psalm 23 in every service over the congregation. But I've never really did a series on it. But I'm going to start one today. And we're going to talk about how He, Jesus, our shepherd, the good shepherd, how He is better. Is that all right? Is that okay? Y'all with me on that? Okay. All right. So we're going to start out today, and we're actually just going to read Psalm 23 together. Psalm 23 is only 6 verses long, so it's not going to take us long to do that. And this is what I'm going to go ahead and tell you. What we're going to do each week as I preach a sermon in this series, we're gonna start out reading this psalm out loud together to hopefully get it in all of our hearts and our minds and our spirits, okay? We actually did this when we were doing a series on the Lord's Prayer. We would read that prayer and say it out loud together every service. And I think there's just something so simple yet so powerful about that. I don't know what it is, but when we as a church, when we as a body of believers, the body of Christ, we come together and we come together in unity and we start to speak His word, there's something that's just so very powerful about that. Would you agree with me? Okay. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and go to Psalm 23. But what they're going to do is they're also going to put the scripture up on the screens for you. And they're going to put it up there in the New King James Version. That is what I typically preach from most of the time. But they're going to put it up on the screen so we can all have the same version with the same words so we can say it all together in unity. Is that good with y'all? All right, so y'all ready? All right, Psalm 23, we'll start with verse 1. All right, I'll lead and y'all join in. I want to hear your voices or we'll start over. All right, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody praise the Lord. Y'all did real good saying that. Sounded good up here. All right. So we're just going to get right into this thing. And the plan that I have, my plans don't always work, but the plan that I have is to cover the first three verses this week. We'll do verses 4 and 5 next week. And on the last week, we'll do verse 6, okay? But I just want to start off, and I want to let you know, if you don't already know this, that the Bible and Jesus himself calls us sheep. He calls us sheep, okay? We are referred to sheep as sheep multiple times throughout Scripture, okay? So I can just show you, I'm going to give you a couple examples, but I can start out with the 23rd Psalm right here, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, okay? Now, who needs a shepherd? Sheep do. Sheep need a shepherd, okay? So we started out right? All right, here's one that's pretty plain and simple, puts it straight out there for us, so it's pretty clear. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the what? The sheep of his pasture. You can't get any more clear than that. It calls us a sheep. If that's not enough, let's listen to the words of Jesus. John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, right? He said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This is where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, okay? So Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd and I give my life for the sheep. Now, who did Jesus give his life for? Who did Jesus die for? He died for you and me, all of humanity, the people of the world, right? We are the sheep he died for, all right? So I say all that to make this point. Time and time again in Scripture, we are called sheep. Y'all with me on that? Y'all still with me? Okay, y'all got that. All right, so here's the next thing I need to say about this, and I don't want anybody to get offended and get upset with me, but I got to say it anyways, okay? I, for one, am really glad that the Lord is my shepherd and that he's a good shepherd since I'm a sheep. And let me tell you why. Because sheep, if you don't know it, might be some of the dumbest animals alive. Right? And here's why. Because sheep, if you don't know, they can hardly even feed themselves. They've been domesticated for so long, they can eat, but they don't really go and find food for themselves. Many times they have to be led and fed. It's kind of like us, you know, when we open up this Bible and we begin to read it, and we can open it and we can read this thing all day long, but unless the good shepherd comes and illuminates the Scriptures to us, it has no spiritually nutritional value, right? So it is the Lord our shepherd that leads us to green pastures and by the still waters where we can eat and where we can drink and where we can rest, okay? So I got a real quick video that I want to show you guys just to prove the point that sheep are not that smart. I don't think this video has any sound, okay? It speaks for itself. Keith, we got the video ready? All right, y'all show the video. That's it. Okay. You're a sheep, and I'm a sheep. And we all need and have needed the Lord as our shepherd to do that for us over and over again. Can I get an amen? All right, good. I'm glad we got that out of the way. We need to understand that many times in life, we are just like that sheep we just watched. We get ourselves into a ditch. He comes graciously and lovingly and pulls us out. And we go and we jump right back in that same ditch, right? We are a lot like sheep. So I'm going to get into this. Here's my first point today. We're going to talk about him being better as our shepherd, okay? He is better because he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Okay, so the word right there, want, is probably not what you think it means, okay? It's not what I thought it meant for a very long time, okay? So I like to go and I look at things in the Hebrew or in the Greek, what this was originally written in, okay? So the Hebrew word right there is kalser, okay? And in the Hebrew, it means lack. I shall not lack. Or it even means to become empty. I shall not become empty. Okay? And the reason I want you to understand that is because we need to know that the Lord as our shepherd does not provide everything you want. He provides everything you need, which is actually better for you. Okay? He provides everything you need. Let me explain it this way. If you're a parent, you kind of understand that already. You know it's not good just to give your child everything they want. Why? Because you'll spoil that child rotten, right? So I'll explain it using the Jewish people as an example. The people of Israel, they wanted a king in Jesus' time. They wanted a king. They wanted a political and they wanted a military leader to come and deliver them, lead them and deliver them from the rule of the Roman Empire. That's what they wanted, but what they really needed was a Messiah, a Mashiach, right? They needed, and we need, a Savior. And so the Lord as our shepherd, the Lord as Jehovah Jireh, did not provide what they wanted. He provided what they actually needed. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack does not mean I get everything I want. But it does mean, and this is really, really good news, I do get everything I need. If I need it, my shepherd, the good shepherd's going to provide it for me. And him providing what I need is always better than him just giving me what I want. Because I've been there many times in my life where I was praying for something that I wanted, but his answer was no, right? And looking back from then to where I'm standing now, I'm kind of like Garth Brooks, and I thank God for unanswered prayers. Can anybody identify with me? Right? Thank God he didn't always give me what I wanted because he knew better. Because he is better for me and he knows what's best for me. And he is better because he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides everything I need. That's why Paul says this in Philippians. He's writing to the church in Philippi. He writes to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "And my God shall supply all your needs." Not wants. All of your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So he is Jehovah Jireh. He's better. Okay? All right, here's point number two. He is better because he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Verse 2 says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." So let me tell you what I believe green pastures and still waters represent. Contentment and peace. Contentment and peace. A sheep that has green pastures is going to be pretty content. And if a sheep has still waters, I believe it would be pretty peaceful. I got green pastures, still waters. I'm content and I'm at peace. A believer, a sheep, a believer like us, our life should be characterized by contentment and peace. I'm going to give y'all some hard words, and I don't want y'all, I called you a sheep already, right? But I don't want y'all to get mad at me, but I'm going to say this too. But if you're not content and you're not at peace, I don't mean this the wrong way, but you might not be following the good shepherd too closely. And here's why. Because the Lord our shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside the still waters. Okay? Contentment and peace. I'll go back to Paul in Philippians, right? Philippians 4, same chapter, a couple different verses, 11 through 13. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to have nothing. I know how to have a lot. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Contentment and peace are not and do not have to be based on circumstances. On our circumstances. Because Paul is saying right here, this is what I've learned. I've learned the secret to being content, and I've learned the secret to having peace when I have almost nothing, and I've learned the secret to being content and having peace when I have a lot. He says, I've learned the secret to be content and have peace when I'm full, and I've learned the secret to be content and have peace when I'm hungry. I've learned the secret to be content and have peace when everything in my life seems to be going right, and I've also learned how to have contentment and peace when I'm going through suffering or those that I love are suffering. What's the secret? The secret is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what Paul is saying. I have peace and I have contentment because I have Jesus. I have the Lord as my shepherd, not because of my circumstances, but because he leads me to green pastures and by the still waters. This is one of the reasons that we come to church. Green pastures, still waters, right? We come to church and we experience the green pastures through the teaching and the preaching of the word. And then we experience the peace of God, the presence of God, the still waters in worship. Think about that. We can come to church, and you know, everything goes wrong on church days with your family. Kids snotty nosed and crying and ill and hollering, and you got a bad attitude. The devil don't want you to come to church, right? There's power when believers come together in unity, right? So everything can go wrong. So you can come to church upset, you can come anxious, you can come worried, you can come fearful, and you can go mad. You can come with all these terrible things, right? But if you come and you fight through that, you press through that, and you get in the presence of God, you get in the house of God, and the praise and the worship gets going, and all of a sudden the presence of God comes in that worship, and the peace of God comes, and you're like, woo, I'm so glad I came. You feel the peace of God come. And then after that, we come to church for green pastures. Because God's provided teachers and preachers, not just me, but others, just like that stand in this pulpit and give the good word, right? Amanda did it last week. She gave a great word. Actually, I had to pray that the Lord would get my heart right. There were so many people complimenting on how good Amanda did. I said, did y'all know I even spoke? I really didn't, but I was so proud of her. She did so good. But we come, and we come as, really as a sheep herd, and we spiritually eat together in the green pastures and get in the still waters, okay? So we come to church to sit beside the still waters and worship and eat from the green pastures during the message. But listen to me, one time a week is not enough. One time a week is not enough. God does not want a weekend affair with you. Okay, so he wants to marry you. He wants to marry you. We're called sheep many times in the Bible, but we're also called the bride. The church is called the bride of Christ. So he wants to marry you, and he wants to live with you every day, and he wants to provide green pastures and still waters for you every day. That comes through worship, personal worship, and personal time in the word. You worshiping and you reading and receiving from the word. And y'all hear me out. Trust me, I know. We all get so busy. We got a lot of things going on. We went yesterday, our youngest had a, he's in robotics. He's in fifth grade, he's in robotics. And I had to have him at the schoolhouse Saturday morning at 7 a.m. I dropped him off at 7 a.m. for the bus. Him and his team rode the bus down to Bartow County College and Career Academy, and they did a robotics competition, which actually blew me away. He's one of the coders for that team, and he just he did an incredible job. They build Legos, put a motor in it, and it's pretty much robots, and they give it tasks to go do, and the theme was archaeology, so it had to do certain tasks, and they did incredible. They got the most points they could possibly score that they were shooting for. They didn't win it, but they did real good. But I say all that to say, yesterday was a busy day. I got in there at 7. I went back home. I picked Amanda up, woke her up, like, "Amanda, you got to get up, our son." She, wake up. Finally, I throw some water on her. No, I'm just kidding. But we get up. We go down there. We got down there at 8:30. We didn't leave that place till 5 o'clock. We were going all day at this robotics competition. I know we all get busy, but we make time for everything else. We have to make time to get some green pastures and some still waters. Get some word, get some worship in your personal life. Would you agree with that? Because if we don't have that, we'll find ourselves not content and not at peace. Okay, all right. So there's two words in this verse. We're still in the same verse, right? There's two words in this verse that we don't talk about, and I want to talk about it real quick. In the Hebrew, it's the word robots. Sounds like I'm trying to be English and say rabbits. Robots. Robots. And this is what it means. It means to cause to lie down, to stretch out, to cause to make to lie down, to make to rest. So those two words that we read in English is he makes. Robots. He makes. He makes me lie down. You ever thought about that? I never really thought about that. He makes me lie down. Those two words just kind of stuck out to me. It was just kind of funny. He makes me lie down. But the more I thought about it from a father's perspective, the more it made sense to me, right? Right? Think about this. If you're a parent, right? Especially a parent of a younger child. Maybe even some older ones need this approach too. But I heard this growing up a lot, and I'm sure you did too. I said it to my boys time and time again. These words. You need to go lie down and take a nap. You ever said that? You ever had that said to you when you were growing up? You got to go lay down and take a nap, right? You need to rest. But there have been many times as a father that I've had to make my kids lie down to take a nap because I, as a father, knew that would be better for them. One is because they needed rest, and that is why they had a snotty attitude and they were so ill, right, and acting crazy. They had a bad attitude. And two, because I didn't want them to get into trouble. I didn't want them to hurt themselves somehow, or I didn't want them to cross the line where I would have to bring correction and discipline and spank that bottom. I was trying to save their bottom. I knew it would be better for them to lie down and rest and make them take a nap than it was than just let them keep going the way they were. I say all that to say this. Sometimes we are going to go through seasons as the Lord's sheep, right, as his children. We're going to go through seasons where the Lord as our shepherd will make us lie down because he knows we need rest and he knows that is better for us. And that time of peace and rest is better than just staying busy and doing things. Sometimes we need rest, and he makes us lie down. So he is better because he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Here's point number three. He is better because he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He is the Lord who heals. Psalm 23:3 says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. That's the first part right there. He restores my soul. Let me ask you a question. Has your soul ever been crushed? Right? We probably don't use that phrase that often. My soul was crushed, but we might use this quite a lot. My heart was broken. My heart was broken. Has your heart ever been broken? Right? Maybe you lost a loved one, right? Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost a career that you thought was perfect for you when you lost a friend, or maybe you lost a relationship. You went through a health crisis, or someone you loved going through a health crisis. Did it break your heart? Yeah, it did. Of course it did. I think that's normal. I think not in the kingdom, but in this fallen world, it is normal for our heart to get broken and for people to let us down, right? But here's the good news. There's someone who can restore your soul. There's someone who can restore it. While Jesus was walking on this earth, he made some really incredible quotes about himself that he quoted directly from the book of Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah was a prophet, and he wrote the book of Isaiah. He lived 700 years before the time of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah has the most messianic scriptures, scriptures about the Messiah, about the Christ, than any other book in the Old Testament. This is what Isaiah 61:1 says. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Okay? That's in Isaiah 700 years before Jesus. Okay? I'm going to go read from Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to start with verse 16. This is talking about Jesus. "So he came to Nazareth." Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, where he was raised. Okay? "And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah," from the Old Testament, right? "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" He's making this proclamation about himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." It says, "Then he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him." I love it. All eyes on fixed on Jesus. I love that. And man, if we could just get that in the church today. Stop looking at who's in front of us. Stop looking at who's behind us. Just stop watching the worship team or Miss Amanda or who's preaching. And if we would just fix our eyes on Jesus, we might receive what he has for us. But all eyes were on him. They were fixed on him. And it says, "And he began to say to them, 'Today,'" somebody say today. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today it's fulfilled. What is he saying? He's saying, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord upon me, and I've been anointed. Guess what? The gospel is here because I'm here. I'm preaching it to the poor. Healing is here because I'm here. The healer is here. Freedom is here because I'm here. Deliverance is here because the deliverer is here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Today it's being fulfilled. And today you can have it if you would just receive it. It's here because of he was there. It's Jesus. Here's another scripture from Matthew. Matthew 12, verse 20. This is about Jesus. It was actually prophesied from Isaiah. Matthew 12, 20. It says, I love this scripture. "A bruised reed he will not break." A bruised reed he will not break. I love that. You ever been bruised? You know what bruising is? Bruising is actually bleeding under your skin. That's what it is. You're bleeding somewhere. So you've been bleeding on the, a bruise means you've been bleeding on the inside somewhere. You ever had a bruised heart? A bruised soul, your heart, your mind, your emotions. Here's good news. In the middle of that bruising, he's not going to come along and break you. He's going to bind up that wound, and he's going to heal you. A bruised reed he will not break. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. Now, right there in Matthew 12, when he says this, when he says a bruised reed he will not break, right? He's actually in conversation with the Pharisees. And he's quoting that right after the Pharisees are mad at him. And you know what they're mad at him about? They're mad at him because he is going to heal a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. That's what they're upset about. Because they say, hey, you're not supposed to heal people on the Sabbath. That's work. But what they didn't understand is it's not work for God to heal. Healing is easy for God. It wasn't work for him at all. Right? And so they're upset that he's healed somebody. Right? And this is what Jesus said as he heals this man's hand. Matthew 12, verses 11 through 13. "Then Jesus said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep?'" There's that word again. "One sheep. And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out. Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored and whole as the other. Let me say this. If you have fallen into a pit, in other words, maybe you were just going along in life and everything seemed to be going great, and then all of a sudden something happened totally out of the blue, and it puts your soul, or it puts your heart, or it puts you literally in a pit, right? And it wasn't anything you did to cause it to happen. It just happened. That happens in life sometimes. Sometimes there's nothing we did to cause it to happen. Sometimes we just fall into a pit, okay? But there are also some times where maybe somebody threw you in a pit. You ever felt like you've been threw in a pit before by somebody you love and you trusted? Joseph was. Joseph's brothers literally threw him into a pit. So maybe somebody threw you into a pit. Or I'm going to say this one because I'm speaking from experience. But maybe you dug a pit and then you ended up falling in that pit yourself that you dug where it was your own fault. I dug it. Anybody here ever dug your own pit? I'm glad I'm not the only pit digger here. The ones that didn't raise your hand, I want to talk to you, and I want you to counsel me. You ever dug yourself a pit and fell into it? Man, I have, right? Okay, so even if you dig the pit yourself, the shepherd will come. The good shepherd will come, and he will get you out. And he will get you out time and time again, just like that video we watched, okay? But not only will he get you out, but he will actually still heal all the damage that those pits may have caused you, because he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth you. Okay? Here's my fourth point. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Amanda, come play behind me if you don't mind. Number four is, he is better because he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Psalm 23:3, last part of that verse. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me say this. There is no righteousness for man, for any man, woman, boy, or child. There's no righteousness for mankind without Jesus, without the finished work of the cross of Calvary. He is our only way. He is our only path to righteousness. That is why Jesus himself said, I am the way, or I am the path. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me, except through me. He is the way. He is the path of righteousness. And if we will follow him, righteousness will be our path. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6 says, in his days, talking about the Messiah's day, in his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. That's Jehovah in the Hebrew. That's Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. That's the name. Listen, this is why he came, that we might be saved. That we might be saved. He came so that we might be counted as righteous. And it is only through him. We all need him as our shepherd, because our righteousness, as Isaiah said, is filthy rags. It amounts to nothing. But he was, and he is, the spotless lamb that made a way. He made a path when there was no other way for us. We could not save ourselves. So he came and he pulled us out of a pit by dying on a cross and saving our souls. And we can receive that righteousness. We can receive it. How? We receive that righteousness by grace. It's a gift that he gives us through faith. We receive it by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, and he'll do what he said he'll do, right? He made it easy. Just like healing is easy for him, he made it easy for us to become righteous. We just receive him by faith. I know that sounds so easy, but it is, and it's because he is better. He's better than us trying to do it in our own power, in our own way. He is better. I'm going to close like this. Hebrews 12. I'm going to read you something. Hebrews 12, verses 18 to 24. Okay? The writer of Hebrews is going to compare the old covenant to the new covenant. So the first four verses are going to talk about the old covenant. It says, "For you have not come, talking about us, we've not come to a mountain like the Israelites did back in Exodus, right? You have not come to a mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded." It was too much. We weren't able to live up to it. It says, "And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." What the writer of Hebrews is saying is like, there was an old covenant, but that was a teacher. It was set there to show us something that we couldn't live up to it. No matter how hard we try, our righteousness is still filthy rags. We couldn't live up to it. But this is what he says, verse 22. "But you have come to Mount Zion, a place of praise." You got something to praise God about. You come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God. He didn't stay on that cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. He's alive. He's alive and he's well. 3 days later, he got up. "You came to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." You got angels. Angels that surround us. I believe they surround our services. I truly believe that. It says the angels came and ministered to Jesus when he was weak, right? They ministered to him. I believe he sends messengers to come and minister to us. "To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who were registered in heaven." Oh man, it's good to have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When the roll is called up yonder, they're going to call my name. I don't have a doubt because I know I didn't do it. I know he did it. He did it. He did it better than I could have ever done it. If your name's not in that Lamb's Book of Life, you're not registered in heaven, you can make sure it's put down before you leave today. "Firstborn who are registered to heaven, to God the judge of all, the spirits," listen to this, I love this statement, "the spirits of just men," we've been justified, even in our filthy, sinful stained rag, we've been justified and made perfect. How? I still mess up. I still got issues, Andrew. Well, so do I. Join the club. I don't try to mess up. I strive to live a life sanctified and in obedience to the word of God. But there are times that Pastor Andrew messes up. And if you put me on a pedestal, I don't say this for any other reason, just to let you know, I'm probably going to let you down because I'm a man. You put her on a pedestal, she's going to probably let you down. It's better to trust in God than to put your confidence in man. But we've been justified by his blood, and we've been made perfect. Why? Because when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the spotless Lamb, he was perfect. All his ways were perfect. He was sinless, spotless. So now when we receive Jesus Christ and we've been washed in blood, when he looks at Andrew High, he doesn't see any sin from my past. What he sees is the perfect, spotless righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is imputed to us. That's what happens when you confess and you believe Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. Spirits of just men made perfect. Listen to this. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, praise God, and to the blood of sprinkling, here's our word, that speaks better. This is our word for the year. The blood of sprinkling, the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. What does that mean? That's a curious statement. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of the blood of Abel. Let me tell you what it means. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, we know what happened. Cain killed his brother. He murdered his brother Abel. And when he did that, God came and he said, "Cain, what have you done? What have you done?" This is what he says. "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me, to God. It cries out to me, God, from the ground. I never thought about this, but what did Abel's blood speak? What did it cry out to God? It said it cried out to him. He said, it cried out to me. What did Abel's blood cry out? I'll tell you what it screamed out. Murder! Murderer! It screamed and it cried out, guilty! You're guilty as can be. It screamed and it cried out, shame! Shame on you! It screamed and it cried out for vengeance and revenge and brokenness. It screamed and it cried out, sin and separation from God. It screamed out and cried out for all of man's depravity. But here comes Jesus. And he spilled his blood on a hill called Calvary. And the writer of Hebrews says his blood, the blood of Jesus, speaks better. It speaks better than that of Abel's. What does the blood of Jesus speak? It screams out and it cries love. It cries forgiveness. It cries reconciliation. It screams provision. He's Jehovah Jireh. It screams peace, Jehovah Shalom. It speaks healing, Jehovah Rapha. It speaks righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. It speaks justice, just men made perfect. It speaks of salvation. And I can tell you this, the blood of Jesus is crying out to you today. It's crying out to you today. Whether you need to be saved, whether you need to be set free, whether you need to be healed, whether you need to be delivered, whether you need something provided for, there's a need in your life, the blood of Jesus says, I meet every need. I meet every need. It's the blood of Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet. It's the blood of Jesus, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood for sin can atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes if you don't mind. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor Andrew, that word's speaking to me. There's a prick in my heart. There's a prick in my life. There's a prick in my spirit. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. And you don't have to explain it. There are some things we cannot understand. I don't claim to know anything more than what the Word of God tells me. And there are still things I don't understand. Sometimes there are things we don't understand. That's why Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Because there are things we don't understand. And you don't understand it. But the Lord is calling to you this morning. His Spirit is beckoning you, saying, come to me. The blood of Jesus is crying out. It's speaking a better word for you. And it's saying, I have freedom and I have salvation for you this morning. And you don't know how to explain it. You don't even know what to think about it. But I ask you, if you feel the prick in your heart and the pulling of the Holy Spirit that says, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior, as my shepherd, I want to be able to say personally, the Lord is my shepherd. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, and you want to, would you just throw your hand up and put it right back down? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I need the Lord as my shepherd. If that's you, throw your hand up, put it right back down. See those hands. Maybe you hear, just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just say, hey, come on. But maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I need the Lord as my shepherd to make some provision in my life. There are some needs that I have right now that I know only he can meet. And I need Jehovah Jireh. If that's you, just throw your hands up. I got needs only he can meet. I see them. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I need the Lord as my shepherd to give me peace. Peace in my heart, peace in my mind, peace in my emotions. In my day-to-day life, I need peace. I need Jehovah Shalom. If that's you, you just say, hey, I need peace. Throw your hand up, put it right back down. See them. I need peace. Maybe you hear this morning and you say, Pastor Andrew, I need the Lord as my shepherd to bring me healing. I need Jehovah Rapha. Whatever you need healing in, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, Relational, I don't care. If you need healing this morning, I need the Lord as my shepherd, as Jehovah Rapha. Just throw your hand up. Put it right back down. I see him across the room. I need him as my righteousness. We gave that call for salvation. The most important. I need him as my righteousness, Jehovah Sidkenu. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Andrew, I just need him to pull me out of a pit. You feel like one of those sheep that we watch. He pulls you out and you jump right back in. You say, I'm back in it. And the enemy's beating you over the head saying, look at you, you're back in that same pit again. You jump in that same pit again. He ain't gonna pull you out. I got news for you today. He's the good shepherd, and he'll leave the 99 for the one. And he'll come and he'll pull you out time and time again. Now, he doesn't want you doing that. And we gotta make up in our heart and mind, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. But you find yourself in a pit and the enemy's brought guilt and shame on you and said, you don't need to go up there. You've been in this pit time and time again. He ain't gonna pull you out. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Listen to the truth of the word of God. He'll pull you right out of that pit again and he'll put you on solid ground. They're getting ready to sing. As they start to sing, I don't want you to hesitate. I just want you to come. I want you to come and meet with the Lord your shepherd. Follow him closely. Follow him, come. Just come right now. Just come right now. If you raise your hand for any reason, maybe you should have, but you didn't. Just come right now.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.